All right. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to call this Government Operations Committee meeting to order the 15th year 2020. The time is 1:30 p.m. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker?
Present.
Congressman Walker?
Here.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Congressman Potts?
Here.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congressman Big Horse?
Present. We have a quorum. Congressman Potts, would you mind rendering us an afternoon prayer, please?
Well, we thank you for today, and we just thank you for the ability to be here and make good decisions for the Osage Nation. Or just guide us in our actions, guide us in our discussion, and guide us in the decisions that we make. It's for your blessings today, and in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Next, item four is approval of the minutes.
Chairman, Big Horse, Walker.
Yes, Coach Walker.
The thing I spotted was that we started at 3:33 a.m.
Okay. Did you catch that, Madam Clerk?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman.
No problem. Make a motion to approve the minutes as amended. RJ.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the minutes as amended and a second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Thank you. Moving on to item number five, ONCA 20-22, an act authorize and appropriate $200,000 to the Financial Assistance Services Direct Assistance Fund as emergency economic disruption assistance caused by the pandemic of coronavirus and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Edwards is the sponsor. Congresswoman Edwards, are you on?
Yes.
Okay, you have the floor, ma'am.
Thank you. This bill was filed at the beginning of session in response to a number of comments from constituents who own small businesses and at this point are unable to tap into any resources as a result of having to close or other difficulties. We have a financial assistance department that I spoke to, and they're able to, you know, to deal with paying out assistance and developing criteria for paying out such assistance. We've done this in the past with disability assistance and other forms of assistance. So it seems to me that given the state of affairs and of our membership that we should make some money available to the membership executed through the financial assistance department as we've done in the past for our membership in need. It's the money would be available, and I need a couple of amendments which I can make on the floor, but the idea is to have something for the members as a result of the coronavirus. And it seemed to me that based on the feedback I was getting, that it was some sort of economic stimulus for people who have small businesses. But that would be up to the executive branch. I'm following the lead of what we've done now and letting the executive branch have the money and figure out how to disperse it.
Any question?
Mr. Chair, this is Casey.
Yes, Johnson. Yes, floor, sir.
Good afternoon. So is this a new program? Is it? I mean, we've already got crisis assistance. Is this adding money to crisis assistance? Is this a new program?
It's a new program. I don't think crisis assistance would cover the economic downturn and for small business people.
Follow up.
So this is, I'm sorry.
Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, so this is a program where we would have to develop criteria, policies, procedures, and all of those types of things.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a question, Congresswoman Edwards.
Okay.
Did I hear you state that we had crisis assistance needs and that's where this $200,000 would come from?
No. It's not crisis assistance money. It would be different money.
Okay.
Come from the general trust fund right now. I think that it can come from somewhere else if it needs to.
Well, I mean, it's not real specific about where it's coming from.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir. That was pretty much my question. I was following session this morning, and it's my understanding that the bills that have been put for monies so far cover operations as they stand today. So this additional $200,000, would that come from the monies that are running, that would run the operations, or where would it come from, I guess?
Congresswoman Edwards, do you have a specific line item capital improvement? Do you have a specific place where this money is coming from?
Well, it can come from the general fund or it could come from the permanent fund. Those would be the two places I would think of that it could come from. And maybe it just comes from the money that's been, that the bill that we've worked on today, because that bill actually doesn't say it covers operations as it stands today. It just says that it covers government operations and government services. So.
But if this is a government service, the crisis assistance, it would be covered.
Well, my understanding of the criteria for crisis assistance is that crisis assistance, and correct me if I'm wrong, if somebody else knows something different, that would be great. But I did not believe that crisis assistance covered economic loss due to small businesses being closed.
Due to a crisis? Any other questions?
Congressman Big Horse, Speaker Tillman.
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just as I'm reading the bill, the Section 1, the Osage Nation Congress appropriates the sum of $200,000 to the Financial Assistance Financial Assistance Services Direct Assistance Fund from the general fund. So your intent is to get this, according to the bill, from the general fund and appropriate it to this financial assistance services direct assistance fund, correct?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And so that goes into this fund, and it's going to be specifically for Osage-owned businesses that have had a economic disruption caused by the pandemic of COVID-19. Is that correct?
Well, this bill doesn't get into the details of how the assistance would be, what the criteria would be for the assistance. The idea is that the financial assistance executive branch, financial assistance department or program or whatever, would develop the criteria for it, much like they developed the criteria for the disability assistance.
So
I have another bill that develops it more fully, but a lot of people like for this to happen through policy, so I was going to leave it to the executive branch to create policy that would set the criteria.
So if I'm an Osage Nation business owner, and there are many who are affected by this crisis, $200,000, and if all of them applied for a piece of this $200,000, what is your vision of what are they going to use this money for? Is it to pay their bills? Is it to hopefully remain open? Is it to for them to pay payroll? What, because if all of them apply, that's not going to be very much.
I understand, and I'd be happy for someone to propose an amendment to make it higher. The way that the Small Business Administration has set up its assistance right now for small businesses is that you show them what kind of business you had, you tell them what your receipts were for the year before, and you give them some information about who are the principals of the business, and then at some point in the future they will give you a grant. So this would be, to my way of thinking, an interim or an additional assistance. I think that as the Osage Nation, we ought to be able to react quicker than the Small Business Administration. And I don't, as I contemplated, it doesn't tell you what you use it for. I guess that the executive branch could put some more criteria as to what it's to be used for, but I would say that anybody that's got a small business now probably has any or all of those needs that you mentioned, Speaker, and they would be able to utilize it for their, to try to keep their business running, to try to keep their employees paid, or to even, you know, reduce their debt or pay their own bills as a result of not being able to draw from their business. So it's really a short-term, quick turnaround. And yes, I'd like to put more money into it. If not, then I think that they have to develop a pro rata approach. You know, maybe there's a deadline in 30 days from now or 20 days from now or whatever after it passes. And everybody that needs to apply applies. They go through the applications, and at that point, they could pro rata out all those that qualify. I'm really kind of leaving that to them. I just wanted to make money available now since we're in session and we know there's a need, so that something could go to the Osage people in the form of direct assistance if they need it.
Any further question?
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Mr. Johnson?
So it goes back to my question. From what I understand, Speaker Tillman's $8.166 million bill covers essentially two distributions from the casino, which run the functions of the entire Osage Nation government, judicial, legislative, and executive branch for 2 months. This is an additional $200,000 that are not, as of today, currently in any of our proposed budgets for this fiscal year. So I don't, again, I'm still trying to figure out where that money, that $200,000 is coming from in the general fund.
This is Alice. I have a question.
Congresswoman Good Fox.
Okay, so it's proposed that this come out of the general treasury. Per the sponsor, we have the chair of appropriations on the government ops committee. Can someone speak to what we have in there? And I'm sorry if someone asked that and I missed it.
No, sure, that question has not been asked. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Congressman Goodfox. At this time, we've not been able to verify that amount with the treasurer.
Okay, well then, I move to postpone ONCA 2022 to the call of the chair until we receive that information.
I have a motion to postpone to the call of the chair pending further documentation. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Wait, can we have discussion?
Discussion. Congresswoman Edwards.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, who's first?
I think Congresswoman Potts jumped in there first, but I heard your voice loudest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've requested that information. We've requested to try to work together on that. I'm not sure that information is going to be forthcoming. So I don't know that it's right to postpone pending that information. If we want to postpone, we can postpone, but I don't know that we should postpone pending that information. I'm not sure we're ever going to get to that.
Okay. Madam Clerk.
Excuse me.
Okay, is it my turn?
Congresswoman Edwards and then Congressman Walker.
So basically, the result of this is if we don't get documents from the treasurer, then we aren't going to consider helping Osages in need as a result of COVID-19 because the treasurer hasn't sent us anything. From my perspective, we've got some documentation that tells us how much we think is in the treasury, and we have a revenue projection report about that, or a revenue report, and we know generally what's in there, and that hasn't stopped anybody from moving bills forward. And I just feel like this Congress has an obligation to try to help our Osage people during this time if we can. If you want to switch it to the permanent fund, that's fine. I'd be happy to entertain a motion to move the money out of the permanent fund. But I've got grave concerns in that we've heard that this 8.166 is going to cover 2 months of government operations for the three branches. We haven't heard a word about how we're going to cover the obligations to the Osage people for direct services. And today I mentioned that in 2 months, there's a $4 to $5 million payment due. Every month, there's about $500,000 due. And I still don't know how much money's in burial assistance, and I guess we'll talk about that later. But We might have ourselves in a position where there's absolutely no direct assistance going to the people, and yet there's been $8 million transferred out of the permanent fund. So I want us to assure ourselves as a body here that we're going to make some money available to the Osage people as a result of this pandemic, and specifically not just your executive branch have the money and have Mr. Johnson, which I appreciate that he's saying that's what he thinks that's for, but who knows what it's for?
Congressman Walker. I'll do my best to keep this regarding the amendment or the motion to postpone.
Thank you.
What I recall is, and I don't want to have the argument whether or not the treasurer has provided us definitive numbers or not, but the best number that we have pointed, I think it's $688,000. It's my assumption is that $500,000 will likely get out to fund the legal issue with the state and Governor Stitt. That would leave, I guess, around $188,000. There's no way right now that I could vote in good conscience to fund $200,000 for a program. I read the bill. I thought, oh, well, that's a good idea. Yeah, I just had a thought of that. And then I hear during opening remarks that it's for businesses or basically just $200,000 to give to the executive branch and financial system and let them figure it out. That, I about fell out of my chair when I heard you say that, Congresswoman Edwards. So I don't see this going anywhere during this meeting today. And if we can get something more definitive, which I don't expect in the next 7 or 8 days, then fine. We would all like to provide more direct assistance to small businesses, for those in need. But we're not there yet. So I'm going to support the motion to postpone.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Congressman Walker is correct. There's roughly $660,000 remaining in projected revenue on the documents that we carry, but I was just answering the question of whether or not we've been able to verify that, and we haven't. So I think that is important to go there. The second thing, with regard to the $500,000 for the compact negotiations, I believe that's also in this committee. I believe we've tabled it to the call of the chair. I have no intention of moving forward with that until we're presented with information from the executive branch that says we're in litigation. Otherwise, we're appropriating $500,000 for nothing at this point. So I don't see the $500,000 moving forward at this point because we're not in litigation with the state. So why would we appropriate money for something that we're not engaged in? So I would see the funds available, and seeing as how I don't believe we're going to get any more information from the executive branch, I'm not sure I'm in favor of tabling this until we get more information. I'd be in favor of tabling this or postponing it, but not with the stipulation until we get additional information.
Call for the question.
Okay. The motion, call for the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion. Call for the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay, Madam Clerk, that puts us back to...
That puts us to the motion to postpone ONCA 2022 to the call of the chair pending additional documentation from the Treasury.
Okay. We've had discussion. Roll call, please.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
That Walker?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Thank Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will write the chief and let him know that
I was waiting. I was waiting
for our information.
I was waiting for Madam Clerk to give us a count.
I apologize, Chair. The motion passed with 5 yeas and 1 nay.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Moving on to item number 6, ONCA 20-24, an act to establish a merit-based system of employment and its foundational components and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Goodfox is the sponsor. Congresswoman Goodfox, you have the floor.
Thank you. So I currently what we have intertwines merit and our money, and what I wanted to do was work with executive on making per the Constitution our part of implementing merit more of just merit, so it's based upon the understanding that it got how we hire and promote. And then I have a companion bill, which is next on our agenda for ONCA 2025, which talks about the money aspect.
Okay.
Tiffany Tracy is on the line, and so is Clint Patterson. And when we started working on this, it was just Tiffany and myself. At some point, we got the Attorney General and Trey Gill involved in our meetings. And I guess I would open it up to the committee to see what questions or all of Congress that's on the phone that is not on the committee, what questions people have.
Yes, ma'am. Committee, you've heard the explanation.
Mr. Chair.
We've got visitors here. I'm going to open the floor up. Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion to report ONCA 2024 to Congress with the past recommendation.
We have a motion to report ONCA 20-24 to Congress with a due pass recommendation. All those in favor,
Mr. Chair,
I'd like to say aye.
Discussion. Another discussion. Is there a discussion, Mr. Chair?
Yes. You have a floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of stating the obvious here. The bill's been worked on. It's got agreeable language to the executive branch. We haven't had much luck with any amendments coming through, so made a motion to report it to Congress as a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a second on that?
Yes, I second it. This is Alice.
Okay, roll call, please.
Chairman.
I have discussion. Edward.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I mean, to me, this just totally abdicates the responsibility that Congress has to develop a merit system. I guess it's very true that the executive branch has developed it, and if that's what the will of the Congress, then I don't know how we explain it, but so be it.
Well, Congresswoman Edwards, I'm going to have to strongly disagree, because I know that you, I know that Congresswoman Goodfox, and I know that myself have sat down with Tiffany and had numerous conversations and have been working on this bill for over a year. So to say that we're just passing something without any input is not true.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, I have to disagree with you.
Congressman Potts.
Actually,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
I asked for this bill
Mr. Chair,
numerous
I appreciate
times
that.
And
Congressman Potts,
thank you.
Congressman
thank
Potts, you,
you
have
Chair.
The floor.
I don't think I would disagree with that. I know that some members have put a lot of work into this, and I'm not saying that in any way. I believe that you've put a lot of work into this. But I mean, I will say I mean, my experience this session is we're not open to amendments on legislation that's been worked or introduced within the last 24 hours. And I know that you've worked hard on this. I know that Congresswoman Goodfox has worked hard on this. So I don't see the possibility for amendments on legislation that's been worked on for over a year. So that's why I made the motion to report. I don't see the possibility to make amendments at this point on legislation that's been worked on for a year.
Any further discussion? Walker.
Congresswoman Edwards would like to be recognized,
Congresswoman Edwards.
I'll make a motion to call for the question.
Second.
We have a motion to call for the question and a second. All those, roll call, please.
Congressman Walker.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
The motion passed with 5 yeas, 1 nay.
Motion passes. Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Now you're on the motion. Now you're on the motion to report ONCA 2024 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, roll call, please.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Walker. Congressman Walker. Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Motion passed with 4 yeas, 1 nay.
Okay, motion passes. Moving on to item number 7, ONCA 20-25, an act to establish reasonable employee pay adjustments for merited employees of the Osage Nation and to establish an alternate effective date. Congresswoman Goodfox is the sponsor. Congresswoman, you have the floor.
Thank you. So ONCA 2025, like I just said earlier, it took out the it puts in the money aspect of adjustments for merited employees, and I filed it on March 30th, and I don't know who all's had an opportunity to look at it, but it's up for discussion. And like I said, we have the director of HR on the phone. And she is really the only person that worked with me on this, other than we did work with Controller Fox, and Clint helped with a little bit of language, and Trey helped with a little bit of language, but not as much as the last bill.
Okay, so the floor is open. You've heard the
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the same is true with regards to ONCA 2025, seeing as how the language is mutually agreeable between the sponsor and the executive branch. Don't see a whole lot of opportunity for amendments to this bill. So I'd like to make a motion to report ONCA 2025 to Congress with a due pass recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion. To report ONCA 20-25 to Congress with a due pass recommendation with a second. Roll call, please. Or discussion, I'm sorry. Walker.
Chairman.
Congressman Walker and then Congresswoman Whitehorn, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Congressman Walker, you have still...
I've read through both of these pieces of legislation. I look forward to discussing them. I feel like we have a responsibility to discuss them. This is a huge deal, in my opinion. I recognize, in my opinion, that these are an improvement from what we have. So I guess ultimately, if we rush this to a vote, then I'm a yes. But dang, I understand why certain people would be frustrated right now. But I do not agree with this type of action. I'm disappointed. And I know others are as well. I get it. But both of these bills are worthy of significant discussion. And I can't believe that this is going on, truthfully.
Mr. Chair, I may hop in the queue after Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Congresswoman Whitehorn and then Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Chairman Big Horse. I'm going to agree with what Congressman Walker said. This is a constitutional mandate that's nobody else's responsibility except for this body of Congress. I came to the meeting with questions on both bills. I see the committee has already passed out the first bill. I'm very disappointed in that, as I would be with this one, but I don't know what good discussion will be on this one, absent discussion on the first one. So I'd just like to raise my objection and my disappointment for the work that's occurring right now. So that's all I have to say. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate the time.
Well, I apologize, Congresswoman Whitehorn. I have a document here that has legislation in order. I've followed the agenda. I've opened the floor up for discussion. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do as a chair.
Congressman Big Horse, you are a chair. You direct the meeting. That's not leveled at any one person. I just wanted to express my disappointment in not being able to discuss what I consider two important bills. So my apologies that seemed to be a pointed comment. It was just disappointment. So I realize you conducted this meeting according to the rules, and you are just the person that takes the motions, and you're the voice piece. This was not intended to be offensive to you, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would echo that. I think you're doing exactly what's the motions that have been made by the committee and supported by the committee. I don't think anybody is at fault here, but I would like to add, and I'm disappointed too, Congressman Walker. I think there's great disappointment in our ability to function as a Congress. But what we've heard, even in the discussion of the first bill, is that this Congress doesn't necessarily have the power to create new programs unless the executive branch would like to sign off on them prior to. So, I mean, we have to go with the experience we've got. And right now, if the executive branch is signing off on things fly through this Congress. And if they don't, we postpone them until we can't go on anymore. So I acknowledge that a lot of work by Congresswoman Goodfox has been put in on this bill. She's been working on it for over a year. I don't see that any amendments right now would garner favor with executive branch if it's to a point that they're agreeable with it to be introduced. So here we are. I think more work needs to be done. Absolutely believe that. I think that we have...
I'd like to get in the queue, please.
I think we have work to do that goes on this bill, but I don't see the possibility for amendments to go through right now. So
I withdraw my second to the motion.
And we have a gallery. We have a gallery of experts. We've got the Attorney General. We've got the HR Director on there. They're there for questions.
Congressman Big Horse, Speaker Tillman.
Mr. Bighorn.
I heard there was a withdrawal of the second, so we're back to the bill itself. And I know Ms. Tracy is here from the HR department, and I'd just like to, if it's possible, Mr. Chair, if we could hear from Ms. Tracy, and she could talk to and speak to the bill itself and some of the challenges or some of the things that maybe she feels are good about the bill or some of the things that maybe deserve some further consideration. So if that's allowable, Mr. Chair, I'd like to hear from Mrs. Tracy.
Yes, sir. Thank you. You have the floor, ma'am.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that we do support this current legislation. It actually makes more, I hate to say it, but makes more sense in the way we handle pay at the nation. It also, I had received comments about, you know, the market studies not being a sustainable way moving forward. And I do believe that we have to clarify what our market is and then also clarify how we make adjustments to individual pay. And that this piece of legislation does that.
Question?
Edwards.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Do I understand the market? Can you explain what market is created in law? Because I think I've seen it, and it's not limited to the local government market. So could you expand on that, please?
The current legislation that's before you defines the market as a 150-mile radius. Just because of the diverse nature of the nation, we can't just take, or it's not best practice, to compare our positions with other tribes only. We have to take into some other considerations. Some of the smaller tribes around here aren't as expansive as the Osage Nation. Therefore, they don't have some of the same positions. So we want to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples. Whenever you do a market, you have to look at where you have the greatest necessity and where you also lose your people. And that's why the 150-mile radius is written into this legislation. Did that answer your question?
Partially. The rest of it is, are you comparing a government to government? Government service to government, government job to government job.
When at all possible. I can't compare a government job if the tribal governments within this area, they don't have that job. So that's where the 150-mile radius is.
Right.
This is Alice. I have a quick comment for Congresswoman Edwards. We're in a unique situation. We are not quite as big as tribes like the Chips, the Creeks, the Choctaws, and the Cherokees, but we are bigger than some of our closer tribes. We are really in a very unique situation, and I'm sure that you can agree to that. We are not as big as the tribes that are around Tulsa, but we're bigger than the enrollment number than like Pawnees or Otoes or Poncas. So that's why we came up with the mileage.
My question still is, you're only comparing the market to tribes within a 150-mile radius?
Ms. Tiffany?
No. For instance, there are several tribes that are within the 150-mile radius. Many of them don't have, for instance, school systems. You know, so those school systems who we would lose our employees too would be local school systems. So what we would do in a case for like a school market is that we would compare it with the current county since there are public schools in the county.
Are you comparing private industry as well?
That's not the benchmark that's built to include private industries, But if we have a specialized position that is only available in private industries, that would be considered.
Okay, and so when I read the law, proposed law, it didn't limit it to tribal government, and it didn't limit it to local government. And my question is, given what you're telling us, how do we know that that's how that's going to be implemented?
Excuse me, Congresswoman Edwards, would you repeat your question for Ms. Tiffany, please?
Sure. I have participated with the market system before and been given market studies. I mean, I'm a critic of that because the market studies, I could never understand what the benchmark was for the market studies. And so when I looked at this law, it doesn't limit it. It doesn't give me a limitation factor, and I'm hearing what you're saying is the limitation factor, but I don't see that in the law.
Chair, I would like to ask real quick. This is the clerk. I would like to interrupt, and I apologize for that, but I'd like to ask everyone that is not currently been granted the floor to mute their phones. We're getting a lot of feedback, and it's making it hard to hear.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Continue.
So my question, Ms. Tracy, is, doesn't it make sense to put some of those factors that she's telling us are part of the consideration into the law so we know how that works?
So I think there are a couple of things there. The first thing is there will be policy that will be developed to carry out the law. The policy would be more streamlined and more direct, but I understand what you're saying. However, how would we run market on a position, like I explained earlier, that the local governments and other tribes in this area don't have? What would be your suggestion for how we'd run the market?
Congresswoman Edwards.
For me, that would be part of the law. The law would say that you're going to utilize the market would be this, so long as that's a good comparison. If not, then it would expand to this. If not, then it would go to this. It would just tell everybody this is how the market works, because in essence, what we've got right now in the law, in the proposed law, is the same thing that's happening right now, which is none of us, or I at least, don't understand how the market study works, because I can look at a position and know that there's a corresponding position in a tribal government or a state government, and I can know what that position pays in terms of a market, and yet I can't make a correlation between them. So it would seem to me that that's probably the case, that study was done based on some other factor. But that's what I'd like to be set out in the law, is how that works.
Mr. Big Horse, this is Brandy.
Congresswoman Lemons.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am confused, and I suppose it would be because of the words this and that is going to be used, and I do better with examples. But what I did hear from Ms. Tiffany was the possibility of some things laid out in policy instead of possibly having it laid out in the legislation at the legislation would be a minimum standard that we would expect, and then however the executive branch or the HR department would develop their policy on how they're going to run their market study. And at the question that I'm confused about with Congresswoman Edwards' example, and I probably just confuse everybody else. However, I do find that we get into a lot of these conversations about this is policy, this should be law, this should be that, this should be this. And working as a middle management person who has worked under policy and procedure and developed policy and procedure and had to fall back on federal regulation, I tend to be the type of person that likes to see minimum standards in a framework in legislation and allow the people that are actually doing the work, the body of the work, on a day-to-day basis, able to create and build their policies and procedures inside the framework that we lay down as minimum standards. And so what I'm getting at, and I apologize for my lengthy rant, I guess, is, Ms. Tiffany, you did mention something about policy. Am I understanding that this is something that you could create, that we could follow and access a policy that would be hopefully online at some point in time that anyone could go to and see, and how their pay is adjusted concerning a market study with all the exemptions under it that I believe Congresswoman Edwards is trying to discover?
Ms. Tiffany?
Congresswoman Lemon is absolutely correct. You actually said it better than I could have, so absolutely.
Mr. Chair?
Mark?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can't agree more, and I'm encouraged by what Congresswoman Lemon has said. I would encourage everybody to look at the minimum standards or employee bill of rights that I had introduced in the last session that provides minimum standards, I believe is the actual language that I used in the bill, for workplace safety and the employment of the nation. So if that is acceptable to be in law, I would encourage that debate to be had in discussion of the employee bill of rights. But more specific to this, and Ms. Tracy, I appreciate being on the phone, what we encounter right now is a difficulty with this market study being done every 3 years, and it is a larger chunk of money that hits every 3 years with these market increases. But what I'm seeing on page 3, I think it's line 95, is that we're moving to these inflation increases. Those are simply, essentially, cost of living increases. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what I see is an issue with, well, what we've got right now is every 3 years it's a big price tag, but now we're guaranteeing it every 12 months or guaranteeing the option for every 12 months in that subsection of A. We're allowing for that increase to hit every 12 months. And right now, I can't imagine a universe where that increase is not going to be stated every year. So given the climate right now, I'd like to assert an amendment. I believe I've emailed it to the clerk. It's page 3, line 95, strike 12 months and insert 24 months.
Is that a motion, Congressman?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have a motion for an amendment. Madam Clerk, would you restate that, line 95?
I believe it is page 3, line 95, strike 12 months and insert 24 months.
Is there a second? Not hearing a second, motion dies, or lack of a second.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
I think in discussion on the bill, I think that is the prime example of where we're at with this legislation. We're constantly hit with these price tags of, well, we have to pay our workforce this, we have to pay our workforce this, and I don't have a problem with that, but what we're getting into is we're pigeonholing ourselves into automatic increases that we're building into this law, similar to what's on page 3. Now we're moving it from every 3 years, we're going to guarantee it every year. And I realize it says at least every 12 months, but again, in this climate, I can't imagine a world in which we don't see that increase. We've seen increases every year in between the three-year market study, just to get us to where we're at. So I can't see a universe in which we don't see a market increase. So with an eye towards no discussion on the amendments, I would like to reassert the motion to report to Congress with the due pass recommendation.
have a motion to move, hold on just a second. A motion to move ONCA 20-25 to Congress with a due pass recommendation. Do we have a second?
Chairman Big Horse, this is Maria. I'm not seconding, but I do have a question or a comment to some discussion that we've had previous.
Congresswoman, you have the floor.
Thank you so much, Chairman. We were talking about what the market is. The legislation that was just sent to the floor, I guess is a kind of a companion bill, but one of the merit requirements in Section 5 of ONCA 2024, Section 5A, number 5, says employees shall be paid equally for work of equal value, considering both national and local rates paid by employers, including appropriate incentives and recognition for excellence and performance. So I believe we have in law that we're going to shop national and local rates in the previous law that is supposed to dictate what merit is. So I just wanted to add that is set in law. So it's not set in policy. We have it in law.
Okay, thank you, Congress.
On the floor, not to be considered right now.
Excellent. Any further discussion?
I have more questions, but if nothing's going to change as a result of the discussion, then it is mute.
Okay, there has been a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
There has not been a second.
I think Congresswoman Whitehorn did for discussion.
No, she said she did not. She did not want to be recognized for a second. She was, and she's not on this committee anyway, so she could not make that motion or make that second.
I'll second it.
Second by Speaker Tillman. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Yes.
Congressman Maker.
Yes.
Congressman Walker.
What are we voting on?
Motion to report to Congress ONCA 2025 with a due pass recommendation.
We seconded it.
Congressman Tillman. I'm sorry, Speaker Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Potts.
No.
Congressman Tillman.
Yes.
Congressman Big Horse.
Yes.
Motion passed with 5 yeas and 1 nay.
Okay, motion passes. That moves us on. Congressman Potts.
Make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Motion to adjourn. Have a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, we're adjourned.
Congressman Big Horse on the line.